Anyways, there's kind of been this kind of something I've been sensing. Sometimes I can sense it in my own heart, and I can sometimes sense it in others. And so I kind of have this question. It says, during this exact time that we're living, is your life filled with joy, rejoicing, and peace? Or do we sense sometimes that there might be frustration, tension, fear, things like that? What is your life being characterized right now in the midst of this exact time that we live right here in Canada? And so I can't speak for you. You got to speak for yourself. But what's it being characterized by? And I have two examples from the New Testament that I think we can follow after, because we do live in a time where there's different things we're observing and seeing, and it's for some of those things we don't like. And sometimes that leads us to speculating what might be coming, and some of that we don't even like. And yet, there's something here we can see from Jesus' life in John 16. So I'm going to look at a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of Paul, because I think they were going through some similar things that we can maybe glean from. So, John 16, familiar verse, verse 32, it says, indeed the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. So he's saying, hey, there's a time of testing coming, and you guys are going to all forsake me, pretty much. It says, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So there's two words there that kind of stuck out to me. One was peace and cheer. In the midst of trying times, that's what Jesus wanted for his disciples. And if we look here, the next verse is in 17. Says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said. So he just finished saying those words and then he flowed into the next passage. And as he kept coming, I want to go down to just verse 13. Look what he says. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So once again, he's wanting people to have joy, even though there's some difficult times are coming. And if I keep reading, it comes even to verse 18. It says, and when Jesus had spoken these words, then what happened? Well, he went out to his disciples, and we know what happened. Eventually, there was a betrayal and an arrest in Gethsemane. So I guess I'm trying to tie that all these words were kind of all flowing together up until this very trying time for Christ. And yet, what was he saying? Do you have joy? Do you have cheer? Do you have peace? This is what he wanted for his disciples in the midst of a very trying time. And so my question still is, what is our life being characterized by today? In the midst of a time where maybe our freedoms are not going there, we see things happening, we're like, man, what's going to happen? What's your life being characterized by? Jesus saw that coming. And yet, what was he wanting for his disciples? And I think it's important, because that's God's will for us. And you know what? Not only that, it actually affects our fellowship with one another. If you have a brother and a sister, or two brothers or two sisters, and one of them is frustrated, maybe they got fear, they got tension inside, it's affecting fellowship in the body. This is not what God desires. He wants us to be able to have hope in the midst or in the face, even of testing. I want to also look at Paul. If we go to Philippians chapter 1. And so if we look here in verse 12, we can see the situation that Paul finds himself in. It says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident of my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So I'm reading this passage because what situation was Paul in? He was in a place where he was in chains. He was definitely suffering for the gospel. And yet this is when he wrote this epistle, and what kind of instruction is he giving to us? And so I wanted to look at that. Chapter 3, verse 17, he kind of makes note of something, and he says here, "Brethren, join in following my example." He's telling them, look, follow after me. Look at how I'm going through my situation, how I'm living my life. Follow my example. The things that I'm aiming for, the things that I'm pursuing after in the midst of very trying times. I got chains on right now. Seek my example. And so I'm going to go to probably one of my favorite passages, chapter 4, verse 4. Look what he's encouraging them, exhorting them. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. We're like, rejoice, but look at all what's going on around me. How am I supposed to rejoice? I don't like what I see. I don't like what I think might be coming. I don't like it. But he's exhorting us to rejoice. Are we doing that? I think this is important because if we answer that initial question that I had, if we could say, you know, I'm a little bit frustrated right now. I really don't like what I see going on, and it's kind of disturbing me. Well, then how do we get out of that place? This is the solution. The solution is coming. This is what Paul's giving us. This is how we can have the same joy and peace and rejoicing that Paul had and Jesus had in the midst of tribulations and testings Jesus went through some pretty big testings, and yet he was concerned about joy and cheer and peace. This is what we should have in our life. So verse 4 was, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, or graciousness. If we're filled with tension and frustration, graciousness doesn't abound. It doesn't come out. The tension comes out, the frustration comes out, and that's what hinders fellowship with other believers. It could be in our own homes, spouses, even spouses, right? We don't want to be like that. It says, the Lord is at hand. In other words, the Lord is coming soon. He's acknowledging that. As a matter of fact, that's what some people are thinking. Well, man, God's return must be coming soon. Look at what's going on around us. So for some people, that can actually cause them to become frustrated. I don't like what I see happening. But he's saying, no, rejoice. Be gracious. The Lord is coming soon. Totally different way of seeing the same thing. Be anxious for nothing. Hold on. The things I'm seeing, I'm not supposed to be anxious. That's what he's saying. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, what are we supposed to do? By prayer and supplication, specific requests. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what's going to happen? The very thing, same thing that Jesus wanted. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So there's a few specific instructions we're given. But one of them was prayer. Pray about things. Cast our burdens upon him. Right? Cast our concerns upon him. Trust him. Lean upon him. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, pure, lovely, good report, if there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So my question is, if we're finding ourselves frustrated, disturbed on the inside, not at rest, what are you meditating on? It's such a simple truth, but are we practicing it? What are we meditating on? Are we meditating on what might come? Are we meditating on how that person is speaking and the way they're talking? It's like, man, that's not right. Yeah, maybe it's not right, but that's besides the point. Are we following the instructions we've been given? What are we setting our minds on? It's so easy. I can read, I can watch so many things on my little phone there, but all the things going on around me. But what does it produce within me? Is it producing joy, peace, cheer? Or is it producing frustration, tension, bitterness? What are we supposed to be doing? What are you meditating on? I'm not saying it's wrong to find out what's going on, but I have a question. Are you setting our mind on things above? Are we praying for people's repentance? Are we praying for God's will to be done? Are we setting our mind on things above more than just trying to figure out what's going on around us? Because this is what we're commanded to do. Meditate on these things of good report, not just any report, of the good reports, right? Things that are praiseworthy. I tell you, half the stuff, 98% of the stuff I see coming out of that phone, it's not praiseworthy. So what are you meditating on? This is a command that we're given. These things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, what did Paul say? These do, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the man that's writing the letter there with his chains on his wrists, right? He's saying, look at the things you heard and received. Remember, follow my example. We read it in 3:17. Follow my example. He's saying, do these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And if he's with you, what do you think you're going to have? Peace. This is how we can have exactly what Jesus wanted his disciples to have. This is Paul's telling us how to have it. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Even with chains on his wrists, he was content. I know how to be abased, or how to live really lowly, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And what was the key to all of this? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not on his own strength, but he had his complete faith and confidence in Christ. That's where our eyes ought to be fixed. And so I guess I look at that question because I can see it in myself. There's times where I can feel I'm frustrated with what I'm observing. There's a tension there with what I'm observing or what I'm thinking might be coming. But then I have to ask myself, is that God's will for me to be living like that? No, it's not. Jesus made it clear in the face of huge tribulation, what he was seeking for his disciples. Paul's made it clear as our example how to overcome those things, right? By rejoicing, by setting our mind on the proper things, not on all the bad reports, but rather on the good reports, the things that are praiseworthy and true and good. Meditate on these things. And so if we find that in ourselves, I think we need to start to do what we've been exhorted to do. Put this into practice, and not only that, not only is it going to put peace in your own heart, but it's going to impact those you're in contact with. It's going to impact our fellowship with others in a good way. If we have peace, right, it's going to allow us to have peace and fellowship with others as well. And so remember, it says, the Lord is coming soon. That's what it says. The Lord is at hand. New Living Translation, the Lord is coming soon. We want to be found in peace when he comes, no matter what's on the horizon, naturally speaking. Right? Paul had learned to be content no matter his state. Whether the chains were on or whether the chains were off, he was content. And we ought to follow his example.